Welcome back to The Brittany Hughes Show, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. I hope you are all enjoying your turkey and stuffing. Of course, with a side of white guilt and shame and colonial rage, because, of course, that's what the left says we should be celebrating. We shouldn't be celebrating Thanksgiving. There's nothing to be thankful for. You should not be thankful to live in the greatest country on the planet and also in the history of mankind. You should not be thankful for all the things that you have. You should be constantly ranting and raving about the things that you don't have so that the government can come in and solve all of your problems. And you should not be grateful for Western civilization and everything that they brought to the Americas. You should be terribly, terribly sad that they spent all of their time slaughtering all of the peaceful indigenous folk who lived here, who, of course, were totally not slaughtering each other well before Europeans showed up. We just want to completely rewrite history and make it so that all white people bad, all Native American people great. So forget all of this Thanksgiving mumbo jumbo and make sure that you put on your sackcloth and ashes and feel absolutely terrible about yourself. So if you haven't done that already today, make sure you add that to your family's agenda somewhere in between Boggle and pumpkin pie. On that note, CBS having a terrible, terrible week. I've got to admit, I don't really watch CBS. I haven't watched a whole lot of network media in years other than for my job. And once you do that, you know, you kind of get sick of it, hearing the same old squawking and the same old lies over and over again. But CBS really, really took the cake this week. CBS, first of all, I don't know if you saw, if you're on the cesspool that is Twitter. If you're not, I've said this before and I'll say it again, don't bother. It actually is getting a little bit more fun, though, now that Elon Musk has taken over. Things are getting pretty interesting over on Twitter. So, you know, it actually might be worth a gander if you have a little bit of free time. Don't get over on TikTok. Do get over on Twitter, though, if you want to just watch an absolute insanity that is the political sphere right now. CBS News, get this, actually quit Twitter on Friday.
In light of the uncertainty around Twitter and out of an abundance of caution, CBS News is pausing its activity on the social media site as it continues to monitor the platform, Major.
Jonathan Vigliotti, thank you.
Everybody was very sad about it. We threw a grievance party. It was terrible. Lots of tears were shed. Everybody was very, very upset. All that to say, in truth, nobody even really noticed, other than the fact that CBS quit Twitter on Friday over Elon Musk, because apparently the idea of having free speech on a social media platform has absolutely blown the left's minds. They are freaking out. It's kind of like 2016 all over again, but in like a virtual sphere. It's absolutely ridiculous to watch the leftist complete and total meltdown over the mere possibility that people that they disagree with will now be able to say things that they disagree with. And again, it's really not about whether or not they're offended. The point isn't whether they're offended. They're not offended. It's not that they see things that hurt their itty-bitty baby feelings. I do think that there is like that group of people that cannot stand to see things that they deem violence merely because they disagree with it. I don't think that's it, though. I think that it's because when the left has to face free speech, that is a direct threat to their ability to control and disseminate information. That's the problem. The problem is the left wants to be the gateway of the internet. Nothing comes in or out without their approval. So that you don't hear stories or you're not exposed to news or opinions or points of view that they don't like that could possibly change your mind on things. And I think CBS News is really fretting because their power as one of the primary news networks has been threatened by this. So CBS on Friday tweeted this: in light of the uncertainty around Twitter and out of an abundance of caution, CBS News is pausing its activity on the social media site as it continues to monitor the platform. Okay, so again, nothing has really changed on Twitter. As somebody who is an active user of Twitter on the daily, I can tell you, nothing has really changed on Twitter in terms of free speech and this avalanche of hateful, violent rhetoric that, of course, the left predicted would immediately be triggered if the reins were taken off and people were allowed to say whatever they wanted, right? which actually is not Twitter's policy. That's not the policy that they've enacted at all. But the mere idea that certain conservative voices would not be censored is terrifying to these people because, again, they want to be the sole disseminators of information. So CBS News had to pause their activity on social media to monitor the situation. I'm not sure what they were monitoring. I'm not sure if they thought, you know, the Ku Klux Klan was going to get their own verified page and start tweeting a war on people of color. I'm not sure what exactly they were trying to monitor that, of course, didn't happen and wasn't going to happen because, contrary to what the left wants you to believe, the right is not a bunch of violent, hateful people. Matter of fact, that would largely be the left throughout history. And so on Monday, CBS, you cannot make this stuff up. After doing this whole big virtue signal, after doing this whole big thing about it, we're going to monitor and, you know, we've got to make sure that social media, this platform is a place that we actually want to be on. And out of an abundance of caution, it's us. We're being cautious, guys. We're trying to do what is best for us and what is best for you. And this Elon Musk guy is just, he's completely unhinged. And we have to be really careful here. And that lasted like a day because on Monday, here's what they tweeted. After pausing for much of the weekend to assess the security concerns, CBS News and stations is resuming its activity on Twitter as we continue to monitor the situation. We're going to continue to monitor the situation over on this social media site where people might actually be able to share stories without our approval, where people might actually be able to report things that didn't make it past our editorial desk, where we deem whether or not the American people really need to know about it or not. Kind of funny because that giant virtue signal lasted a grand total of about a day. That's how long CBS was able to stay out of Twitter. Now, if you know anything about Twitter and you know anything about the way that these media outlets use Twitter, including the Media Research Center, I'll be honest, Twitter is a major disseminator of articles, right? A lot of revenue is streamed through Twitter because that's where you get a lot of clicks. So places like CBS, if they stop tweeting, if they stop putting out their content on Twitter, that's a major blow to their bottom line. And we know that because it was a major blow to the bottom line of the Babylon Bee, who, if you recall earlier this year, was suspended back when the left-wing hacks were still running Twitter. They were suspended simply for making a joke about Rachel Levine, who is a biological man who masquerades as a woman. And of course, the Babylon Bee, being a right-leaning satirical site, dubbed Rachel Levine their Man of the Year. This was, of course, after she won one of the Woman of the Year awards that the left likes to hand out. Babylon Bee named him their Man of the Year. That got them booted from Twitter pretty much permanently. They were suspended and they were told, look, you can have your account back if you delete the tweet stating that Rachel Levine is in fact a man, which is scientifically true. And the Babylon Bee stood firm and said, you know what? We are not going to cave to that demand. We are not going to cave and boot scientific fact to appease your progressive agenda. We are going to stand firm on truth. We are going to stand firm in science. And they did not cave. And that was a major issue for the Babylon Bee. Of course, they have continued to grow. I think that it's pretty clear that go woke, go broke. The Babylon Bee has continued to thrive, not only in the midst of all of that, but in large part because of that stance, and has continued to do very well. But not posting their content, not being able to post their content on Twitter did hit their bottom line because it impacts revenue. They had several million followers. And when you cannot reach people on that platform, that has an impact. And I think that's what CBS very quickly found out. CBS very quickly found out, look, if we get off this platform, guys, that's money gone. And instead of standing on their principles and standing firm for what they believed, like the Babylon Bee rightly did, CBS, of course, kowtowed like the gigantic baby cowards that they are. And now they are back on Twitter, which is Hilarious. Of course, in the middle of all of that, Elon Musk did take a major step by reinstating the account of Donald Trump, who, of course, was suspended a couple of years ago by the leftist hacks who ran Twitter. Even though he didn't violate any terms of service, they determined that he incited violence on January 6th, that his tweets were a big part of that, even though they there was nothing in them that actually incited violence. But Twitter booted him anyway. Elon Musk this weekend put out a poll asking Twitter users whether or not they wanted to see Trump's account reinstated. About 52% said yes, 48% said no. And Musk went with public opinion and reinstated his account. And of course, this has the left absolutely losing their minds. Losing their minds that Donald Trump might actually be able to say things on a social media site, and they're not going to be able to funnel it. They're not going to be able to channel it. They're not going to be able to pick and choose what they report. And all of that leaves them absolutely quaking in their loafers. And here's why. Here's why. Again, we make fun of them a lot for being such little sensitive snowflakes that they cannot take an opinion that they don't share. They cannot be exposed to things that they don't like. But that's not why the left does not want free speech on social media. The primary reason is because they want to be able to control what you read, what you learn, what you are exposed to, and what you're not. Point of fact, CBS, who got off Twitter and then got back on Twitter and can't seem to make up their freaking minds what they want to do over there, CBS finally reported on the Hunter Biden laptop story after 2 years, more than 2 years, of sitting on this. This is one of the most stunning and brazen things I have seen from a leftist news outlet in a long time. And quite frankly, that's really saying something. The bar is extraordinarily low. But proving that rock bottom does in fact have a basement, CBS came out this week as if the Hunter Biden laptop story is brand new information and they haven't been sitting on it for 2 years, completely squashing this story. I'm going to tell you why I think they're doing that. But first, let's talk about what they actually said. So here's the CBS report from just this week, talking about the Hunter Biden laptop story like this is some bombshell that they just busted wide open, like this is breaking news, like they haven't been trying to put their thumb on it for the last 2+ years and keep Americans from figuring it out. And here's what they reported just this week.
And as Republicans take control of the House, Hunter Biden, the president's son, will be a target for investigations. And that means data from a laptop reported to belong to Biden could be crucial to the investigatory process. CBS News has obtained its data not through a third party or political operative, but directly from the source who told us they provided it to the FBI under subpoena. And we commissioned an independent forensic review to determine its authenticity. Senior investigative correspondent Catherine Herridge joins us now with what we found. Catherine, I'm very interested. Good morning.
Good morning, Tony. These House Republican investigations are coming, and that could be a challenge for the White House as we head into 2023 and 2024. The laptop data we had analyzed showed no evidence it was faked or tampered with.
Digital forensic investigator Mark Lanterman was previously a member of a Secret Service electronic crimes task force.
There was one thing that got my attention, and that was a voicemail.
It's Dad. I called and told you I love you. Love you more than the whole world, pal. Can I get some help?
That voicemail, apparently from Joe Biden during his son Hunter's drug addiction, is one of many findings Lanterman used to authenticate what is believed to be Hunter Biden's laptop data.
You're confident, based on your analysis, this is Hunter Biden's data and that it's real?
Yes.
This Delaware computer shop is where the laptop's backstory begins. Their records indicate in April 2019, Hunter Biden took his laptop in for repair, but never paid. After 90 days, the store considered it abandoned. Then in December 2019, the FBI subpoenaed the store's owner to turn over the computer and a portable drive of its data.
Whatever happened to Hunter?
During the 2020 election, versions were widely shared by Republican operatives, including Rudy Giuliani.
We have the entire hard drive.
But questions were raised about whether additional files were added to those versions. Then-candidate Biden labeled the laptop controversy disinformation.
What this he's accusing me of is a Russian plant.
CBS News approached the lawyer for the computer repair shop owner to cut through the noise.
We've always had one clean copy.
And obtained a copy of what he says they provided the FBI under subpoena. Then we went to Minneapolis for an independent analysis.
Were you paid by CBS or anyone else to analyze the data?
No.
No.
I wouldn't want anyone to think that someone bought our opinion.
Around the corner, it'll lead you to what we call our imaging room.
Lanterman and his son, Sean, both digital forensic experts, recovered images of credit cards, a driver's license, social security number.
Just the sheer volume of what we're dealing with, it would be difficult, if not impossible, to fabricate.
And explained how files built up over years.
It accumulated over time, which is consistent with normal, everyday use of a computer.
There's some reporting about folders being added.
We have read these articles. We don't see that. So I believe that that's because we have a more pristine copy.
The laptop and its contents have fueled Republican interest in Hunter Biden's business ventures.
Hunter Biden was working with Chinese nationals.
They say this May 2017 email outlining a proposed business deal with a Chinese energy firm is one reason why they have questions about whether President Biden benefited.
We're prepared to subpoena Hunter Biden. We would certainly hope that he would want to come before the committee and clear his name.
Two of Hunter Biden's former business partners, including Tony Bobulinski, who received the email, told CBS News the 10 held by H for the big guy is shorthand for 10% held by Hunter for his father. After the email became public in 2020, the author of the email told The Wall Street Journal Joe Biden was not involved. The author has not responded to CBS News' questions. Mr. Biden has consistently denied knowledge of his son's work or financially benefiting from it.
I've never spoken to my son about this.
Last month, Senator Chuck Grassley wrote this letter alleging bank records and financial data showed that Hunter Biden and the president's brother profited from a $5 million wire from a company connected to CEFC, the Chinese energy firm.
They're going to look at every part of the Joe Biden administration.
Doug High is a Republican strategist.
A lot of this is also going to be aggressive on Hunter specifically. We're going to hear a lot about the laptop. Who profited? Was the law broken? Was it not broken?
After 2 years of scrutiny, the laptop has not produced evidence President Biden directly benefited from his son's business deals.
If there's dirt there, that will dirty him up. If not, those attacks can backfire.
The White House declined to comment. Hunter's lawyer did not address our specific questions about the data or the CBS forensic review, but said there have been multiple attempts to hack, infect, distort, and peddle misinformation regarding Mr. Biden's devices and data. And at no time did any individual, including the IT repair shop owner, Mr. McIsaac, have Mr. Biden's consent to access his computer data or share it with others. The lawyer also referred us to Hunter Biden's memoir, where the president's son slammed the despicable opposition that purported to have a laptop belonging to him.
Who is buying this? Who is buying this? This report is chock full of little nuggets to unpack. This is like a flaming dog turd on the front porch of the American public. That's what this is. This is so incredibly insulting. Because here's what CBS was saying back in 2020 about the Hunter Biden laptop story, trying desperately to turn this into a nothing burger because Joe Biden was running against Donald Trump, who they could not stand. And it was all hands on deck to get Orange Man out of the Oval Office and get Joe Biden, McDrools on shoes, elected. And they were going full court press to make that happen. Back on October 15th, then White House correspondent with CBS actually laughed at the contents of the laptop hard drive. She said that the story sourcing has raised questions about its authenticity because, of course, we couldn't have anybody believing that this could possibly be true. This was a crazy, ginned up New York Post story. It was so ridiculous and so fabricated that social media had to actually ban people from sharing this story. They actually had to boot people off of social media and suspend their accounts. accounts that they even shared the link to this legitimate news story from a legitimate news outlet. I mean, literally, the FBI was actually coordinating, and we know this now. This has been well documented. The FBI was actually coordinating with social media sites to squash this story, and the media was doing their part to completely undermine the legitimacy of it, saying that the story sourcing has raised questions about its authenticity. Now, they didn't bother going and checking out the authenticity for themselves. If the authenticity was really in question, you would think that a news media worth its salt would be doing a little bit of digging and saying, maybe we should be verifying whether this is true or not. But instead of doing that, they just assumed, you know, there's nothing to this. Even if there is, we really don't want to look into it. So we're just going to make it sound like all of this is really, really sketchy and can't be trusted and you shouldn't be sharing it on social media because it's probably fake news. Not like that Russia stuff that we've been pushing for the last 4 years. Not like all the Russia collusion. Not like that. That's absolutely top-notch verified information. You know, the Steele dossier, that's like gospel truth right there. But Hunter Biden laptop. Not so much, nothing to see here. A co-host over on CBS, Anthony Mason, he dismissed the laptop story as suspicious new claims. Again, CBS could have looked 2 years ago into whether or not that was actually verified. They could have been doing their own authenticity tests back then. Why in the world did it take Catherine Herridge and CBS 2 years to get a copy of this thing and to take it to independent analysts to figure out whether or not it was real? You would think that with a major presidential election coming up and allegations like this being made against a candidate running for president of the United States, a news media that had just spent 4 years digging into every nook and cranny for some tiny little shred of evidence that Donald Trump and the Trump campaign had colluded with the Kremlin to rig the 2016 election, you would think that if they cared that much about candidates running for president, if they cared that much about making sure that the American public had access to every piece of information to make a qualified, informed vote on Election Day, you would think that Catherine Herridge and CBS could have been getting their butts over to, you know, wherever, with a copy of that hard drive. Why did it take 2 years to decide to analyze this to figure out whether it was true? Because they were certainly trotting their people out ahead of the presidential election, saying that this probably isn't true. All of this stuff, this is really sketchy. This is suspicious. We don't know if this is accurate or not. Go find out. You're the news media, for heaven's sake. Isn't that what you're supposed to do? Isn't that literally your job? Isn't that what you continually tell us to trust you to do? But no, it took CBS 2 years, 2 years to get around to finally looking at this. It's like the file folder that got kind of like shoved under some notes on somebody's desk and they just found it, you know, trying to clear out their receipts from all of their Black Friday shopping. And they stumbled upon this story. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that thing from 2 years. Maybe, you know, maybe we ought to look into that. Maybe we ought to, you know, slow news week, got some time on my hands. Really? CBS Evening News back in 2020 claimed that the contents of the Hunter Biden laptop were stolen by Russia. This whole thing was a Russian hoax. Because again, you got to remember, that was the giant kick that they were on. Everything was Russia, Russia, Russia. It was like the worst episode of the Brady Bunch ever. Russia, Russia, Russia. So, of course, the Hunter Biden laptop must have been stolen by Russia. And then it was probably like tinkered with and fabricated. And then it was handed over to some Republican operatives and funneled through the Trump campaign. And what we essentially got was a whole bunch of gobbledygook that needed to be dismissed. That was the story that they ran with. And now here we are 2 years later. 2 years later with CBS reporting this. Like it's brand new. Like we just realized this is breaking news, guys. Look at us doing our jobs, diligently hard at work for the American people, the Fourth Estate. Bullcrap. And here's how they tried to get around the fact that they had not reported this story back in 2020. by claiming that there was speculation that Republicans had actually fabricated the evidence from this laptop. Here's what Catherine Herridge just said in that clip we read that we saw.
There's some reporting about folders being added.
So that's the excuse that CBS is going with, right? We didn't actually report this as fact. We didn't give you all this information back in 2020 when it mattered before you headed to the polling booth to cast your vote for a presidential candidate, because there was some questions about whether or not it was real. And for some unknown reason, it took us 2 years to figure out that, oh, lo and behold, turns out none of it was fabricated. Turns out it was completely real. Oh, but by the way, there's still no evidence that Joe Biden did anything wrong. Notice what she says.
After 2 years of scrutiny, the laptop has not produced evidence President Biden directly benefited from his son's business deals.
You know why? Because the people that are supposed to be looking into that aren't doing their jobs. Exhibit A. Maybe we would know whether or not Joe Biden directly benefited from his son's business deals if we had a media worth a crap who was willing to actually do some good, honest, unbiased, straightforward investigative journalism into that issue. We still have questions. Who's the big guy? The money was going somewhere. Somebody was getting a cut. If not Joe Biden, then who? Because this same laptop with all of these files on it that turns out hadn't actually been tampered with showed definitive evidence that Joe Biden was making connections, connections that he denied later, connections that he said, well, I never actually had anything to do with my son Hunter's business dealings. Au contraire. Turns out he was having lots of meetings. At the White House, in fact, with some of the same people that Hunter Biden ended up doing business with. Business that nobody can exactly figure out why Hunter Biden was in business with them, because he was on boards and doing stuff with companies like Burisma, despite the fact that he had exactly zero experience in those industries. Why? Why? If not for his connections, why in the world would a company like that put him on their board? Could it possibly be because Joe Biden was having all kinds of meetings with people that his son ended up having business dealings with? It makes perfect sense to question whether or not Joe Biden was the big guy because somebody was getting a cut. That sure seems to go together like peanut butter and jelly to me. And it would seem like a news media, again, that cares so much about making sure that democracy is protected, that people's vote is protected, that people have the information that they need to head to the polls, and that we are the stopgap. We are where truth is. We are the light that shines in the darkness. Right, The Washington Post? Democracy dies in darkness? I would agree with that, except for the fact that The Washington Post seems to think that they're the flashlight. But the media can't seem to figure out how to investigate this. So we're just going to go round and around and around. This is actual election interference. You get this, right? This is actual election interference. This isn't just some claim that Dominion voting machines were switching one vote to a different vote. This isn't just claims that somebody was dumping a bunch of Republican ballots in a ditch somewhere or pouring them into the, you know, sludge-filled San Francisco Bay, never to be seen again, eaten by poisonous algae. This isn't a claim like that. This isn't a claim that, you know, a bunch of leftists kicked everybody on the right out of a polling station and then made up a whole bunch of ballots and recounted everything. That everybody has already divided themselves into camps in terms of some of those theories and what may or may not have actually gone down on election night in 2020. And I'm not here to rehash all of that. I'm not here to tell you what to believe and what to ask questions about and what to buy and what not to. This is actual election interference. This isn't a theory. This isn't a question. This isn't a, I think this is what happened. This is actual, bona fide, proven election interference. When you have a major story like this come out, before a presidential election. And not only does social media platforms kick people off simply for sharing the link to it, much less actually discussing it, not only does the FBI, which has been weaponized and politicized by leftist administrations now for years, coordinate with social media platforms to quell this story. Not only does that happen, but the media, the news media, actively buries this story. They intentionally choose not to investigate it. They intentionally choose to slander it and downgrade it and make it sound like there's nothing to be seen here. It's all based on really speculative, sketchy sources. And now 2 years after the fact, all of a sudden, the New York Times, now CBS, oh no, it turns out that that was actually true all along. Oops. Sorry. This is actual election interference. The MRC did a poll after the 2020 presidential election, and it found that 9.4% of Biden voters would not have voted for him if they had known about the Hunter Biden scandal. 9.4%, more than 9% of Biden voters said that they didn't know about the Hunter Biden scandal when they cast their vote. And if they had, they would have changed their vote. We ran the numbers and found that if that held true, Donald Trump would have won the 2020 election by a landslide. It wouldn't have even been close. This is actual election interference. If this story had not been downplayed on social media platforms, which again, Elon Musk, say what you want about him, but thank God that Twitter might at least have some hope of being a platform for free speech where stories like this can get airtime and people can actually learn this stuff because it directly impacts elections. If CBS had run the story that they ran this week, 2 years ago, we might not be sitting on sky-high historic inflation. The border wouldn't be spewing like a busted fire hydrant. We wouldn't have shoddy foreign policy creating problems around the globe. We might not have a war on families and children raging with complete impunity from coast to coast. We wouldn't be seeing many of these problems because Joe Biden wouldn't be the freaking president. But CBS couldn't have that. The leftist media couldn't have that. And the reason that I think that they are starting to report on this now, because again, CBS didn't have to. This is 2 years ago, right? CBS could have just kept their mouth shut. They didn't report on it then. They could have just stopped reporting on it now. Really, we didn't learn any new information from this report that we didn't already know, those of us who have been paying attention, those of us who have actually followed this story. This isn't something new. There was no new nugget of information in here. So CBS could have kept their mouth shut. I find the timing interesting not only when it comes to the 2020 presidential election and the fact that they didn't want to touch this story with a 10-foot pole before that. Notice how CBS didn't release this report until after the 2022 midterms. I find that particularly interesting. Because see, what I think is happening here is the stage is being set for 2024. Now, I don't know who the Republican nominee is going to be. I'm not sure what's going to happen in the next 2 years. A lot could happen in the next 2 years. I have been proven very wrong predicting some of the craziness that's happened in our political sphere over the past few years. I don't think that any of us could have seen some of this nonsense coming. So there's that. But I do think that the stage is being set for 2024. And I do not think that Joe Biden is the sparkly candidate that the left thought he was. Maybe he'll run, maybe he won't. All signs seem to point to the fact that he will. But this is a man that can't form a coherent sentence. This is a man that wanders around a stage until one of his handlers or his wife can come up and get him. This is a man that is constantly making ridiculous gaffes, that is reinventing history. One minute he grew up in a Puerto Rican community, the next minute the oil was raining from the sky, the next minute he attended an all-black college. It's bizarre, bizarre stuff. And I think that the shine has worn off for many on the left. And it makes me wonder if this isn't a tacit effort to begin undermining Joe Biden so that the left can start positioning another candidate heading into 2024. Because again, this wasn't a story that the media wanted coming out before 2020. This wasn't a story that they aired before the midterms. But they've got 2 years now to figure out if they really want to bet on that horse or if they maybe want to pick another one. And I find it very interesting that CBS has decided to start talking about this now. Because again, it's all about election interference. The name of the game here is win by any means necessary, by hook or by crook. It's part of the reason that the right has struggled, because again, many people on the right are still attempting, at least trying, to play the game based on rules and principles and honor and integrity. And that is no longer the left's mantra. Hasn't been for a long time. It is win by any means necessary. We saw that happen in 2020. And I think we're going to see this happening again. The media is not going to stop trying to rig elections. They're going to try to do it again. It is why they are so terrified of an open Twitter, an open platform that allows people to share stories and information that don't pass through them first. They want to be the gateway to the internet and the gateway to the public. And anything short of that terrifies them because they won't be able to do this. They won't be able to manipulate stories like this. And I will say this. I know that this has been a really, really difficult year. I understand that. I know that this has been a hard year for a lot of you. It's been a hard year for us. We are seeing incredible inflation. Just going out and shopping for Thanksgiving this year. I mean, I felt like Fetterman. I almost had a stroke. Looking at the prices of turkey and the prices of eggs. Oh my gosh, have you tried buying shortening lately? I mean, Joe Biden is literally making it difficult to make my mom's chocolate chip cookies. That pisses me off. I understand that things are really, really tough right now. But when you support the Media Research Center, when you support our ability to conduct polls like this, to expose the media's bias, when you support the Media Research Center, you are making an investment in the future with the hope and the prayer that it doesn't look like this. I don't want my kids growing up in this. I don't want my grandkids growing up in this. I don't want your kids growing up in this. I want to leave them with a country that looks better then than it does now, than even it did when I was a kid. I want to make things better. And that will never happen when we have a leftist media that is manipulating elections and hiding information so that people vote for these absolutely terrible policies that have gifted us with the crap we're seeing right now. When you invest in the Media Research Center and you support us, we are an entirely donor-based organization. We're a 501c3. That means that all of this content is absolutely free. We never charge for it. When you support the Media Research Center, you are helping us do exactly this, exposing the lies. So please go to the Media Research Center, go to mrctv.org/donate and support us this year. Absolutely, we cannot do what we do without you. While you're at it, head on over to Apple Podcasts. Make sure that you subscribe to The Brittany Hughes Show so that you never miss an episode. Also, while you're over there, subscribe to the Newsbusters podcast. That's on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays with my buddy Tim Graham. Nobody is better at exposing media bias than him. He is absolutely phenomenal. On that note, hope you have a fantastic Thanksgiving weekend. Make sure you watch a lot of football, eat all your turkey, and cry over the plight of the indigenous people. Don't forget that. It's very, very very important. I will see you guys back here next Thursday. Have a fantastic weekend.